Welcome back to Dakota Midday, the special election coverage program. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Lori Walsh. Thanks so much for joining us. Now we're going to talk big picture stuff. Dr. Emily Wanless is an assistant professor of political science at Augustana University here in Sioux Falls. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So you're here for the big picture, the presidential picture. So did Donald Trump really redraw the map the way he said he was going to?
I think so. He flipped a lot of states that that Romney was not able to pick up in 2012. Just kind of a general observation. I think it's funny that I was talking with students today that we're all so surprised by this outcome. But in reality, the whole thing has been surprising, and his campaign has certainly turned everything we know about campaigns and elections and strategy and polling completely on its head.
And polling, I mean, is it because people don't have landlines anymore? Is it because people didn't want to say out loud who they were going to vote for? What happened with the polling?
I think it was a combination of several factors. And I think that, well, from the outset, the polling industry is going to have to take a serious look at their profession and how they conduct business and the predictors and things like that. I think it was that there was a significant population that was not kind of the silent Trump vote that wasn't forthright. Mm-hmm. with who they were going to vote with. You know, the landline issue, I think they've come with ways to go around that. But really, the silent Trump vote. And I think that there was a demographic that didn't traditionally turn out to vote that did in this election. And we may not have been paying attention to that, to those voters.
But Donald Trump was. And that's who he was speaking to.
Yes, his message definitely resonated with the group. I think I saw something where about 10% of Republican turnout was new. Hmm. So new voters supporting the Republican candidate.
Okay. So in South Dakota, almost 9,000 people did not cast a vote for a presidential candidate. Is that typical, not typical?
I would say that that's actually opposite of what's normal. Normally, because it's such a salient race, people feel confident about who they're going to vote for president and less confident about those lower ticket races. And so if they're going to show up, they're going to vote for the big ticket item, the presidential election. And then we have this ballot drop off where people aren't voting for the down ticket races. And what we saw with this election was people that really didn't like either choice. And so they just abstained from that office and then showed up for other things like the ballot initiatives and federal races, Senate, House.
And South Dakota was one of, what, seven states that had 5% or more for a third party candidate for president?
Right. Yeah. So Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party polled just over 5% in South Dakota, fifth most of any state. So certainly that was an option for people who weren't pleased with either of the two major party candidates.
As a political scientist, what does this say to you?
I think we have to look and see, you know, I don't want to be the first one to bring up 2020, but
we have one day.
I would like one day. No, but just to see, you know, what, because this was so far from everything we know theoretically about how campaigns are conducted, how voters vote, everything. Nothing makes sense right now. And so is that the new normal or is this a one off? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I'm particularly interested in. I'm interested to see what changes come from the parties and from government as to kind of how the process unfolds. Are there going to be rule changes for nominations? Are there going to be different thresholds for getting on the debate stage? You know, mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see kind of the repercussions.
Well, and Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and that darn electoral college.
Yeah. I asked my students this morning if they thought that this was going to be the straw that broke the electoral college back. And they said no. They thought that this would be another 2000 where people grumble, but nothing really changes.
Hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about rural America and the rural vote. And what do you think rural South Dakotans heard here differently, perhaps?
Well, I think that they are maybe frustrated with the attention that is shown to both you know, they feel left out, and they feel as if their issues and their needs are not a priority. And so by focusing on them, which Donald Trump did and Hillary did not, that was something that they felt like they had finally had a voice, maybe.
And the anger at the establishment, perhaps?
Certainly. So I was looking at some of the exit polling data, and one of the statistics that stood out to me was when they asked what was the most important quality you were looking for. And 39, the largest block, was for someone who could bring about change. And Donald Trump won 83% of the people who thought that change was the most important factor for who they voted for.
So there's anger at the establishment, but a lot of the incumbents in Congress were reelected. So is there a different definition for what the establishment is? Does the buck stop at the White House?
Well, one, it's easy to identify one person and blame one person versus 535. But also what we know about the incumbency advantage is that, you know, we often talk about this when we look at popular support for Congress. I mean, they poll routinely in the 9 and 10% for public support, but yet they all get reelected at 95, 98%. Mm-hmm. And so what's going on? And what we think is that voters don't feel that their representative is the problem.
Oh, it's everybody.
It's everybody else's, because, you know, we voted for that person, and so we don't want to think that our representative is the problem. Okay. But I would note that I think that Obama's election, the message was change, and we had 8 years of that, and we have now a candidate who was elected based on this desire for change. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, change, if this is the shock that really brings about the change.
That's the theme. That's the unified theme. Mm-hmm. Okay. Emily, I want to thank you for taking time and coming over today. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.